connecting to what we would call occupational problems. Amen. How many work? Amen. Guess what? You work with people. And guess what? People can be problems. You might be the problem. Amen. But anytime you have an occupation, it's going to involve other people oftentimes. And oftentimes, other people cause you occupational problems. Amen. That's why they have that resource advisor, or what's that, the what they call them, HR, human resources. Amen. And they come and they resource you out, or they resource you in. Amen. But praise God, I'm glad that we can be the type of people God wants us to be. Colossians chapter 3, of course, we've covered chapter 3 all the way down to the children, the wives, the husbands. We're going to read verse 22 today, all the way down to chapter 4 and verse number 1. Colossians 3, 22, chapter 4 and verse number 1, dealing with occupational problems. Amen. Everybody at Colossians 3:22, say amen. Anyone need a few more mementos? Okay. No comprende? Where's G2 at? All right, verse 22. Let's read that together. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. I like how Paul says in verse number 2, continue in prayer. Amen. Anytime you work at a job, you need to continue in prayer. Amen. If not for yourself, for those that you work with. Amen. And trust me, there's probably somebody praying for you as well. Someone probably praying on you. Amen. But they should be praying for you as well. As we shift here, as we look at problems that we come to Christ with when we're saved, God gives us the remedy to navigate through those problems. He doesn't remove the problems. He just gives us what's necessary to navigate through the problem. Why? If he removed all problems, you might as well go to heaven. Amen. Amen. But God wants the unsaved world out there without Christ to see how the Christian navigates through problems. Amen. Are we going to have problems? Yes, we are. And God gives us what we need to work. This area here, Paul says, now, I've talked about what the wife ought to do with her problems, talked about what the husband ought to do with his problems, talked to the children about their problems. Now, when you go to work, let me talk to you about your problems. And by the way, if you happen to be a boss, let me talk to you about your problem, too. Father, bless now, as we deal with occupational problems, Christ Jesus should impact our lives if we're saved. We should not handle our problems like everybody else, Lord. There should be a marked difference in the way we conduct ourselves because of the glory of God and the power of God and the Spirit of God in which we possess. I pray that you would bless now the morning service, that, Lord, that each and every hearer would hear that which he or her needs to hear. Lord, that men would leave here changed more into the image of Christ's likeness. Women would leave here changed into the image of Christ's likeness. Boys and girls would leave here changed more into the image of Christ's likeness. Lord, whether we're wives or whether we're husbands or whether we're children, whether we're servants, whether we're masters, we are all under your authority and your guidance and your tutelage. Teach us today what we need to learn. Lord, I pray as normal that when we leave here, we would leave differently than when we came in, a little bit more Christ-like in what we think, say, and do, a little bit more knowledgeable of the will of God, and Lord, how we can conduct ourselves and our places of employment. Lord, we may not work for much, we may work for much, but Lord, help us in all things to know who we work for in everything, and that is you, Lord Jesus, and help us to honor you with what we do. Thank you for loving us, Lord. If there's a man, woman, boy, or girl here today without Jesus Christ, I pray for them that they would receive Christ today before it's everlasting too late and leave here a changed man, a changed woman, a changed boy or girl, more into the image of Christ. We thank you and love you, Lord. Bless now the next moments that we have. Bless in the message of song. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. I've been really enjoying this series that we've been going down here, talking about problems that we have when we come to Christ.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, when you do come to Christ, the biggest problem is solved.
Yep.
Say, preacher, what is that biggest problem? What happens to me when I die?
Yep.
That is the million-dollar question. What happens to me at the point that I die? I praise God. Darlene made that decision years ago. Amen. She trusted Christ. And so that problem she didn't have to worry about. Yes, she had failing health, but we all have failing health. Amen. That's a part of life. But the biggest problem that was in front of her, that's in front of you and I, is solved when we accept Christ as Savior. Amen. Hallelujah and praise God. That's a great thing. And in the event that Christ doesn't take us when we first get saved, you remain with problems. Amen. Sometimes they're financial problems. Sometimes they're medical problems. Sometimes they're dental problems. Amen. Sometimes they're occupational problems. Sometimes they're marital problems. Amen. Sometimes they're emotional problems. Sometimes they're physical problems. Amen. But all of us will be left with problems when Christ saves us if he doesn't take us to heaven right away. But then you say, well, if he loved me, he should take away the problems. Well, good would that do you? You just get more of them.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
Am I right?
Yes, you are.
You help your child through one difficulty. What do they find themselves in again? Another difficulty. You help them with that difficulty. What do they find? Another difficulty. I mean, it's from eating to feeding to bedwetting to typing shoes. Typing shoes. Tying shoes. Amen. To all sorts of things. They come with a different challenge every time you turn around. And as we grow in Christ, he doesn't take our problems from us, but he begins to help us navigate through them. Why? God gives us everything we need at the point of salvation to handle it. Why? He says, ye are complete in him. I have everything I need. I'm complete. I just need to bring out that completion. Amen. I've got to open up the box and pull out the instructions and find out what I have to make this thing better operational. And so when you and I get saved, he doesn't save you from your problems. He saves you from the problem of hell. That's the biggest one. But then with your problems, he says, why don't you come and check me out and see how I do things. Amen. When he dealt with his disciples, he says, I want you to come with me. Follow me. Check me out. I can believe that Peter had problems. Why? Peter was married. Amen. Anybody that's married is going to have problems. You're going to have your problems and you're going to have your spouse's problems. Amen. Anybody that's single is going to have problems. Amen. Either you don't want to be single and so you're going to get problems trying to get unsingle. Amen. Or you're going to be single and have your own problems. My mama used to tell me, she said, boy, you can do bad all by yourself. You don't need no help. Amen. You can do bad as a single person. Children have problems. Most of them just don't want to obey. And they bring the problems on themselves. Amen. And so everybody's going to have problems, but we are complete in Christ. And he gives us what we need to navigate. And that's what we've been talking about the last several weeks. We've whittled this down now and come to this point. Amen. The whole series is ordinary sinners with an extraordinary Savior. When Christ comes and saves us, amen, we're ordinary sinners. We've got an extraordinary Savior. He said, I want to take you now and make something out of your life for the glory of God and show the world what I've done with you. Amen. That's good. Hey, when God pulled back the veil and unveiled my life to people, amen, that hadn't seen me for years, they said, Greg is saved for real. I didn't know there was an unreal salvation you could have. But evidently, a whole bunch of folks got it, amen. And they said, he's saved for real. He's really got it. What did he have? The Holy Spirit. And what did the Holy Spirit really have? Me. And when you really have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit really has you, he can make something out of your life. What a day that will be when my Jesus I will see. But until that time, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to do something down here for me. I want you to point everybody upward. What does it say down there in verse number 1? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above. Where Christ sitteth where? On the right hand of God. What do I do, Paul? Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. He said, if you're saved, turn your eyes upward, not manward, and not downward. Hey, I was downward going to hell. Now I'm saved, amen. But I'm not a humanist. I'm not looking manward. I'm looking Godward. Set your affection on things above. He says there's something you ought to do to make your life what it needs to be. Notice verse number 8. But now ye also put off what? All these. What do I need to put off, Paul? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Change what you're doing. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the what? New man, which is what? Renewed in what? Knowledge after what? The image of him that created him. I should be more Christ-like in my thinking. And if my thinking is Christ-like, guess what? My walking and my acting should be more Christ-like. In other words, I should leave differently than when I came to Christ each and every time. Amen. None of us are finished products. Say, preacher, I'm all signed, sealed, and delivered. I'm ready to go to heaven. No, you're not. If you were, he'd take you. Only one that I know of that was ready to go was Darlene. She was signed, sealed, and delivered. Amen. He said, okay, your chapter is done here. You've done what I asked you to do. Time to go home, man. Now I'm waiting for the rest of them folk to do something now. Amen. What does he want us to do? Keep living and living for him and pointing people to him. Notice what he says down there in verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, what? Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. He says, show somebody me. 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. He says, if you've got some problem with people, get it right. Verse 14, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. What is that? Love. Notice verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you how? Richly. The word richly means wealthily. How many of y'all want to be rich? Amen. Dwell. Let the word of God dwell in you richly or wealthily, and you'll have everything you need. He says, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever ye do. He just quantified that. Whatsoever ye do. Guess what? He says the same thing in verse 23. And whatsoever ye do. Notice what he says there in verse 17. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. So Paul here, as he's writing, comes to chapter number 3, and he says, now look at here. What I'm about to tell you, you can do. Look here. What I'm about to tell you, Colossae Church, you can do. Wife, what I'm about to tell you, you can do. Husband, what I'm about to tell you, you can do. Children, what I'm about to tell you, you can do. Servants, what I'm about to tell you, you can do. Masters, what I'm about to tell you, you can do. Jeff can do it too. So he says, I'm not giving you anything that you can't do. I'm not giving you geometry, Gregory. I'm not giving you trigonometry. I'm not giving you Spanish. I'm not giving you Greek. I'm giving you something you can do. I can see if I place before you stairs and you've got no legs and I said walk. That's different. I can see if I told you to reach out and grab my hand and you've got no arms. That's different. What you have to do, you can do. Because I've given you everything you need to do it. So we come down here, when it comes to our problems, we're going to have relational problems, but they can be minimized. By the way, when Jesus Christ changes a person's life, he should change their behavior. Why? Belief dictates behavior. In other words, what you believe, you should do. If you don't do it, you probably don't believe it. Ooh, preacher. No, say it ain't so. But I believe God. Well, you believe him, do it. Do what he said. You know what demonstrates to a parent that the child understands? When they do what the parent tells them. When the child doesn't do what the parent tells them, then it dictates that they don't understand. And if they do understand and they still don't do it, then that just dictates rebellion, which we know is in the heart of every child.
And that culminates with foolishness, and we know what the Bible says. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction should drive it far from him. See, God's got the remedy already. He's got the remedy. What am I talking about here? So Paul told the Colossae church, you can be successful based upon what I've given you here in verses 1 through 17. Relational problems, I say, can be summed up in this relational formula for success. I said children should obey right away to improve their stay. Notice verse number 20. Children, obey your parents in how many things? All things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Children, obey right away to improve your stay. Amen. You want to get a quick exodus out of the home and into the juvenile institute? Amen. Don't obey, and it will not improve your stay. And you will have a horrible stay in the juvenile institute of technology. Amen. And we said, wives, submit as it is fit to help keep the devil away. Amen. Verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own who? Husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. So wives, submit as it is fit to help keep the devil away. And then we said, husbands need to love as if from above and continue to pray. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. We went in depth about that bitterness last week. Now, Paul, after writing to Colossae about the marital and the family relationships here, comes to the occupational. Why? Because many of these people were workers. Many of these people were servants. And by the way, the word servant there literally means slave. Yeah. Preacher, I'm nobody's slave. Yes, you are. You're a slave for the person that you work for. They practically own you. No, they don't. Yes, they do. So when you read servant here, don't think, oh, the days of slavery are over. Hey, if you at work, you got a job, and your boss says sweep the floor, guess what you're going to do? But I'm nobody's servant. You're going to sweep that floor. You ain't getting paid. I'm not nobody's servant, nobody's slave, and doing that stuff. Be at work at 7 o'clock. But I ain't nobody's servant. You can't tell me what to do. Work late today. No work, no pay. So when the Bible uses servant here in verse 22, it literally means slave. And many of them back in these times were slaves. And many of them did not get paid except for room and board. That means a place to stay and something to eat. They were somebody else's property. Masters in verse chapter 4, verse 1, literally means this person that's in charge. Person that's in charge. And so with that in mind, occupational problems will be the thought for today. Another of these problems that we come to Christ with. And by the way, when you look at chapter 3 and verse 22, we said, children obey right away to improve your stay. Wives submit as is fit to help keep the devil away. Husbands love as if from above to continue to pray and continue to pray. But then servants obey. It's the right way to earn your pay. Amen. Servants obey. It's the right way to earn your pay. Notice verse number 22. Servants obey in how many things? All things your masters according to the flesh. In other words, if you can see that person in the flesh, they are your boss. But how should I do that? Not with eye service as men pleasers. Know what that means? Work while the boss is there. But while the boss is away, the employees will stray and play. I'm glad they got these cameras out now. Boss can leave and still watch you. See what you're doing. How many of y'all go into the supermarkets and the stores? You see those little bulbs there, the little black bulbs up in the ceiling? You know what that is? Surveillance cameras. Do you know they have people back in rooms watching every person that comes in the store? And they see you putting stuff here. And then you wonder when you go out the door and they say, excuse me, sir, can you come with me? Oh, yeah. You say, where that person going? Oh, you don't want to know. Or you don't want to know. Or you hear that noise. And you looking to see if it's you. And you see them escorting somebody. Will you come with me? They know exactly who it was. They're no dummies. They've been watching you. And they on their little phones. Hey, watch that guy. Yeah, that one. The striped shirt one. Yeah. And when he gets to the door and crosses and goes outside and think he's gone, nab him. And they got one out in the parking lot. And guess what? Sir, you want to come with us? Then you want to make a scene. What did I do? You know good and well what you did, you thief. What did I do? Somebody get me on YouTube. Police brutality. Somebody come help me. You're a thief. Take the punishment. We want to make a scene and get on YouTube. And see, it was brutality. No, they were trying to get the stuff that you stuffed up in crevices that you got. Ain't no brutality. Trying to stuff stuff under an armpit and put stuff here, put it in your shoe. And I got bunions. That's what I got. No, you got a watch in your shoe. Get that thing out. What am I saying? We want to get upset with society. Servants obey. It's the right way to earn your pay. Then we get to chapter number 4. We're going to go verse number 1. Masters, give. It's the right way to live. Notice what he says down there. Masters, give unto your servants. That was his just and equal. What's the encouragement? Knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Hey, I'm Donald Trump. I don't have anybody over me. Yes, you do. You have the American people over you. Hey, wait a minute. I'm a general. I don't have anybody over me. Yes, you have the president over you. Hey, I'm a CEO. I don't have anybody over me. Yes, you do. You have governing authoritative laws over you. Everybody, well, I want to be the boss, so I don't have to do nothing. Amen. Amen. When I get grown, I'm going to be the boss. I'm going to make everybody do everything for me. You will still work. Preacher, how you know that? I said that when I was young. When I get up, I'm going to be in charge. I ain't doing nothing. I'm going to pay everybody to do everything. I'm going to have my own laws. I'm going to do what I want to do. Yeah, you're going to live on a small little island. And you will be the only person there. By the way, folks, let me give you this. Our society will only be as good as the godly children we raise to be employed in it, to run it and represent it. Let me say that again. Our society will only be as good as the godly children we raise to be employed in it, to run it and represent it. Where do you think the CEOs come from? Children. Where do you think Donald Trump came from? A child. Where do you think the generals come from? Children. Where do you think every person that's in authority in this planet has come from? A child. And every country has within its children the next leaders of that country. And within the framework of America, we have the next leaders of society. Let me give this to you. Would you be concerned for society if your child is slated to be the next president of the United States? Would you be concerned for America? If your child were slated to be the next president of the United States, what's stopping him or her from being that? What's stopping him or her from being that? Would you be concerned if your son or daughter were going to be the next CEO of Facebook or Amazon or the next general of the armed forces or the next principal in the next high school? Would it surprise you or would you be afraid for society if your child was going to be in such a position of authority? Folks, what I'm saying is that we need to raise godly children because those children will grow up. And they will be husbands, they will be wives, they will be servants, they will be masters. Some of them may be president, they may be in charge. And what will the world look like when they're in leadership? Scary, isn't it? Look at Stalin. Look at some of the other nations and what leadership they had in dictators. Hitler, Idi Amin over in Africa. You think of some of those barbaric people. And what they've done to people's lives. Children will grow up to be single or married and employed in society somewhere, whether it's a servant or a master one day. And that is scary. I've seen some children now, and I'm thinking, boy, if they don't get something on them and something in them, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. America's in trouble. America is going down fast. We're on an elevator with no strings attached. It's going down fast. Folks, we already have same-sex marriages. We already have men marrying men and ladies marrying ladies. Now, by the way, just something to think about. We've got ladies marrying ladies and men marrying men. How are you going to get that past the Bible? Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own wives. Husbands, love your own husbands. How are you going to get that past scripture? Would it startle you if I told you that within, and you just can't get away from this. Within every homosexual relationship, somebody plays the man, somebody plays the woman. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Somebody's got to be the husband in the relationship, and somebody's got to play the wife in the relationship. So I don't care if you got two ladies, one of them is going to be more masculine and play the male, one of them is going to play the female. I don't care if you've got two men, one of them is going to play the male, and one of them is going to play the female. One is going to be more feminine, one is going to be more masculine. You can't get away from God, so stop trying. Stop trying. I don't care how you slice it, you can't get away from God's framework, because even if they're two men or two women, somebody still plays the opposite sex. Think about it. Well, there are two men there. Somebody's going to be the husband, and somebody's got to be the wife. You can't have two husbands in that relationship. God purposely put a man with a woman so they could be like this. He didn't put two women there so they could be repellent. You ever get a bunch of ladies in the kitchen to cook during Christmas time? Thanksgiving's coming. Get a bunch of ladies in there and don't get around one of those women. I'm talking about the ones that know what's doing and put them in there with somebody that don't know what they're doing. They're going to get chased out of there with a spoon. My kids, they saw the Beverly Hillbillies with Granny and Pearl in the kitchen cooking. And Granny about to take a frying pan to Pearl's head. She's going to clock her bone. She thought it was Pearl coming in. She clocked Jed. Pow! You can't get away from God's formula. The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Not wives to wives and husbands to husbands. Why? It doesn't work. God's formula is good. Stop trying to change it. I didn't want to get on that today, but amen. If somebody needed to hear that. What am I trying to say here? Our society will only be as good as the godly children we raise to be employed in it, to run and represent it. Let's notice some things about occupational problems. This servant master relationship. Notice a couple things here real quick. We're going to minimize occupational problem. By the way, you're going to go to work this week. Children, you're going to grow up and get a job, I hope. Amen. And by the way, being a homemaker or housewife is work. Don't anybody tell you it's not. You're a homeschooler, it's work. Don't anybody tell you it's not. We had a G2 place for Empire High School, and the guy that's over the sports, he said, well, who does the grades? I said, well, you know, the Becca homeschool does the grades. I said, what do you guys do? Make sure he gets the grades, amen. Make sure he does the work, and we send it in. He said, okay, I just wanted to make sure. Because they have more homeschoolers there than I think they anticipated. And several of the players there don't even go to the high school. They're like Gregory. They are outside the school. And so they're trying to keep track of all the students, amen. And all these students one day will be in society as a servant or as a master. So notice, first of all, verse number 22, servants obey is the right way to earn your pay. By the way, nobody wants to pay you for a bad job. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hey, you go to the restaurant and you get a waiter that I've already paid for the meal, so I don't have to pay the waiter. Everybody say amen. I've already paid for my meal. I've already paid for the establishment. And so I don't have to pay the waiter. Anything that I give the waiter is based upon his service. And I know they give you this little thing here and say, well, it's recommended that you give 15% or 10% or whatever. You know, they have you giving more tip than a tithe. They talk about 18%. We don't even give God 18%. And I'm going to go into the restaurant. They suggest that you give 18% to a man that not preach to you at all. And they're giving you no word of God. They're giving you a low-down chicken sandwich. Amen. And church, you get manna from heaven, God's word. And they want you to give them 18%. Somebody needs to say amen on that. And then start tithing, amen. And 18% on top of that, amen. All right, 18%. If we're giving the rest, if we're giving Red Lobster 18%, God should get at least 20%. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Preacher, don't say that. You look at that thing next time you go down there, it'll say 10%, 15%, 18%. And then it'll give you the suggested amount. God just says 10%, give it up. Amen. And then we go in and play Red Lobster. Why do you think there's so many Red Lobster chains all around the world? Because we're paying them 18%. Amen. Bring that in the house of God. We might be able to do something for God. Amen. Get more missionaries going around. Amen, Brother Scott? I'm just saying, nobody wants to pay for a bad job. At a restaurant, we give a tip. You go to the car wash, you expect your car to be clean. Nobody wants to pay for bad job. 33:22 says, servants obey in how many things? All things your what? Masters according to the flesh. That means if you can see them, they are your boss. Amen. Hold your finger there. Go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And y'all are not going fast enough, so this message is stalling. Titus chapter, y'all bring up all these issues, don't need to be in this message. Titus 2:9. Exhort servants to be what? Obedient unto who? Their own masters. So in other words, don't look at the person down the hallway that's getting a longer lunch break than you. Don't look at the person that's employed over there that's getting 20 cents more than you. You want to work over there, then get employed over there. Amen. He says down there, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to do what? Please them well, and how many things? All things, not what? Answering again. Come over and dump the garbage. You want me to do what? Did I stutter? I said, I want you to dump the garbage. Well, I'm not getting paid to dump the garbage. Okay, you're fired. You're not getting paid at all. Oh, yeah, dump the garbage. Yeah. Yeah, who was I thinking? Yeah, I dumped the garbage. Yeah. Hey, we need you to clean the bathroom. You what? I'm not getting paid to clean no bathrooms. Okay, you're fired. No, you're not getting paid at all. Bathrooms, did you say? Where are the gloves? I used to do this when I was a kid. You know that? I can clean that toilet bowl with the best of them. Yeah, I can. That thing's shiny, boy. But it don't smell anymore. Boy, what else you want me to do? Uh-huh. When your job is threatened, you change your tune, don't you? Not answering again. May I say something? May I say something? This should start for your children. Amen. And your boss later on won't have to worry about this. This should start with the chores when you're a child. So your employer doesn't have to worry about this. Not answering again. Why, I got to watch it. I watched it last time. Because I said so. And that's how some people say, because I said so. No, because I said so. That's why. Because I said so. Any questions? Not answering again. It means don't lip off when you're told to do something. Amen, young people? Well, give me that. When your lip fall off, then you won't have any more lip to lip off with. I'm just saying. Y'all can meet my mother in a couple weeks. She's just the woman that can slap it off, too. Now, pick your lips up. Now, what you got to say? Amen. It's hard to lip off with no lips. And my mother tried her best to make sure that they came detached from your face if you messed up. Now, I'm not advocating that that's the right way to do it. I'm just saying she didn't know other way that worked on me, so she used that way. Because that way used to put silence on my lips. Pow! Yes, ma'am. You got anything to say? No, ma'am.
No, ma'am.
You sure? Why? If I say the wrong thing, get the Marcus Oil. You're like, man, what am I saying? Servants be obedient to their own masters. Well, what's going on here? Titus was to teach this to the church. Hey, Paul is writing here to Titus, and he says, as I go down here, Titus, he said, I want you to exhort servants or build servants up in this to be obedient unto their own masters. The last thing we need is rebellion from the servants or the slaves, and then nobody's going to get saved. If they're saved servants, they ought to act like they're saved servants. Amen. Hey, if I'm, If I'm a child of the king, I need to act like a child of the king. Whether I'm bond or free, I should act the same. Amen. He said, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. Please them in all things. Not answering again. Notice what he goes on to say. Not purloining. You know what purloining means? Stealing from your boss. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity or good trust that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. In other words, boss says, you know, I'm going to give out some jelly beans to the troops. Sergeant Dawson, go get the jelly beans. And on the way back with jelly beans, Sergeant Dawson, I thought there were more jelly beans in there than that. When I got it, sir, that's how many they were in there. Sergeant Dawson, I drew a line right there and I took a count. Would you mind counting those for me? One, two, 25. 35. Sergeant Dawson, I think we skipped over a few numbers, didn't we? Yes. Why? I think they're in here. You think they're in there, Sergeant Dawson? I may have sort of kind of maybe 8-1 times 25. Purloining, petty stealing. Stealing. Hey, folks, how many of us are guilty? Boss give you 10 minutes, you take 20. Boss, you can take 5 minutes, you take 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Hey, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn, put on the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things, that they can put on the teachings of our Savior in all things. He said, live like you're Christian. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, if you're saved, hath appeared to all men. What does it do? Teaching us. So if I'm saved as a servant, my salvation should teach me to deny some things. And one of those is being a bad servant or a bad employee. The last thing you want to believe is that there goes your Christian. There goes your Christian on another coffee break. I mean, you clock in at 8:01, you're on a coffee break. What kind of sense does that make? Some of you don't even clock in at 8. You don't get there till 8:15 or 8-ish. I'm just saying. Servants, obey right away to earn your pay. Go back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Give you just a couple quick points here. Servants, obey in the right way to earn your pay. First of all, remember your earthly boss. Remember your earthly boss. Notice what it says down there. Servants obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. If they are your employer, then you need to obey them. While you're employed, they are your master and you are the servant. How many of y'all remember G.I. Joe? G.I. Joe. Many of us use that term generically for G.I. Joe. But you know what G.I. stands for? Government issue. So in other words, this is G.I., government issue, Joe. I have issued him to you for a reason, and that is to serve. To serve. I remember one time, Pastor White, I was playing basketball, and I pulled a muscle in my thigh. And I got back, and I had to take some time off of work, and I couldn't sit down because when I sat down, it hurt. So I had to get me a high stool and sat on it. And my boss came there and said the craziest thing to me. She said, I should give you an Article 15. Article 15 is meaning that you're in trouble. I said, for what? She said, you went out and hurt government property. And now you're no good to this office. And you've got to be off. Why? I was government issue. Now, she was serious. And I was kind of like, ha, 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 you're serious. You're serious. And you know why she got so upset? Because I injured myself playing basketball at lunchtime. But then instead of stopping, I kept playing on it for the next 45 minutes to an hour. By the time I got done, I was walking like this. And it was all dark in the back because the blood was oozing out inside my skin. And I was in bed. My wife can attest to this. My boss even got on her. I thought, wait a minute, it's bad enough getting on me, but then you're going to get on my wife. You don't want me to unleash her now. These was BC days. We wasn't saved yet. My wife was feisty. She didn't back down for nobody. Hey, back in our BC days, we was on the dance floor, man. We were cutting the rug. Whoa. And some little old girl got in front of me and started doing all this. My wife pushed her down on the dance floor, stood over like Muhammad Ali. Get off my home. Y'all remember Ali with that pose? Like, get back up and see if I don't knock you back down. Leave my man alone. She's calm now. She's cool. She's collected. She's dignified. Most of all, she's saved. I said, look, you don't want me to let my wife go on you. You talking about Article 15? You're like, look, you better get on out of here with that. I got saved now, and I'm refined. My wife is saved. She would never even dream of doing like anything like that. And she's going to kill me after we get out of here. That's between us. Bring that junk up in here. I just want y'all to know we weren't always saved. We did some stuff that's not good. We weren't always good servants and masters. Amen. Hey, what am I saying? Remember your earthly boss, your master according to the flesh. Amen. But then remember your eye service. Notice what he says down there. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers. Remember your eye service. You should obey the rules without being observed. Amen. If they're do's and don'ts, do's. If they're do's and don'ts, do to do and don't to don't. Amen. You should observe, should obey the rules without being observed. Amen. Your boss should not have to be there. By the way, this training should start as early as children with responsibilities. Children should obey the rules without having to be monitored all the time. Increase the responsibility little by little by little by little. And if they don't do the first one, don't give them the second one. If you can't trust them to be home without the car, don't trust them to be home with the car. Somebody say amen. If you can't trust them to act right with their friends in front of your face, don't trust them with the friends outside of your face. Amen and amen. That's just smart. Training should start as early as children. You should obey the rules without being observed, but also you should obey the requirements without being observed as well. Show up on time. Work all the time. Leave on time. Waste no time. Remember, it's not even your time. It's God's time. And God has called you to be a servant, amen. It's your employer's time, amen. How can this be visible? Just a few tips here. Number one, be respectful. If you're going to do the things that it's saying here, and servants obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men please, but in singleness of your heart, fearing God. Number one, be respectful. Be respectful. By the way, there's nothing worse than a disrespectful servant. Nothing worse. You're getting paid to serve, not to scowl and be sour. I didn't pay you and hire you to show up and be mad all the time. Sergeant Dawson. We need you to work late. Had plans. You don't know why. I go bowling after I get out of work. Just mad. Mad about everything. Hey, we need somebody to stack the boxes. Folks, I work with people like that. I work with people like that. You may be like that. Well, don't you know I hurt my leg last week? Oh, well, no, but I saw you at lunchtime shooting that basketball. Well, I heard it after that. More excuses than you can shake a stick after Christmas. Be respectful. Jesus said in Mark 12:17, Jesus answered and said, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. That starts at childhood. You're getting paid to serve, not to scowl and be silent. Number one, be respectful. Number two, start by being reliable as well. Reliable. Your coworkers still depend on you to show up. There were certain people at my job, you just knew. When certain things happened, they weren't going to be there. Uh-oh. Super Bowl on. They ain't going to be here for the next 3 days. Hangover. Oh, 4th of July. They ain't going to be here. Hangover. Day after Christmas, we got to work. They ain't going to be here. Hangover. Oh, well, New Year's. Woo-hoo, we ain't going to see them for 3 weeks. And when they do come in, they're going to smell like a distillery. Hey, how you doing, George? Hard. How long have you been drinking, man? Well, I stopped the day after New Year's. And it's still on you? You must be a pickle. Hey, what am I saying? Eye service, not with eye service. Be respectful when you're not being watched. Be reliable when you're not being watched. Be ready when you're not being watched. As a servant, when it's time to work, be ready to work. Be ready to work. You're hired to comply, not to complain. If you were hired to complain, then you should get paid for being a complainer, if that's it. Last time I checked, do all things without murmuring and what? Disputing. Philippians 2:14, you're hired to comply, not to complain. By the way, if we use the time working that we use the time complaining, some of us would be employee of the century. Amen. Same amount of time that you put into complaining, if you put that time into complying what you're supposed to do, you'd be employee of the month, employee of the week, employee of the century, you'd be employee of the eternity. Because they ask you to do something. It starts as children. My mother spanked that out of me when I was young. One of the marks that followed me, and I'm not tooting my own horn, one of the marks that followed me, even not BC days, Dawson's going to work. And Dawson's going to work hard. And Dawson's going to give you the best job that you can ever get. Folks, I couldn't even get let go to other jobs that were more lucrative because my present boss didn't want to let me go because he was afraid he was going to get a loser after me. I was like Joseph. I made things to prosper. I got things done. I made things happen. And to the glory of God, God used me for that. And by the way, when that happened, they did not want to let me go. Some folks, they'd be like, can I get this transfer? Oh, yes. There you go. Tired rascal, man. Maybe we can get somebody here to work now. Don't let that be said about you. Don't let it be said about you. And if we use time working, if we use complaining, some of us be employee of the century. Christians should be the best and the hardest workers. They should be early in and willing to stay late if needed. They shouldn't be clock watchers. They shouldn't be men pleasers. They should be God pleasers. Notice what it says towards the end of that verse 22 again. In singleness of heart, doing what? Fearing God. Fearing God. I know I've got a boss over me. And I'm doing my best, not for my earthly boss. I'm doing my best for my boss above. By the way, the boss above will grant you the blessings that you need. Share with you a quick psalm real quick. Psalm 128. If you don't have a chance to get over there, don't worry about it. I'm going to read it to you. Psalm 128. This is the parallel to the blessed man in Psalm 112. 128. Psalm 128. And notice what verse number 1 says. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor. Notice that, eat the labor of thine hands. How is this person going to be? Happy shalt thou be. What am I saying here? When I'm fearing God in singleness of heart at work, it brings enjoyment in my employment. It brings a blessing and not a curse. And you can labor in the Lord and you can actually be happy at work. Amen and amen. I never was so happy as when I got saved and found out that I wasn't working for my boss that was trying to give me the Article 15. I was working for God in heaven. I had to cease seeing her and set my affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Not working for you, although I am working for you. Amen. I got a bigger God that I'm working for. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Fearing God. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. And folks, go back to Colossians here. We're going to wind this up real quick. We got to wind it up. Got to wind this up. We didn't get to the master yet. I'm going to give you something here for the master. Go back to Colossians chapter 3. So what are we talking about here? Servants obey. It's the right way to earn your pay. Remember your earthly boss, your master according to the flesh. Remember your eye service. You should obey the rules without being observed. You should obey the requirements without being observed. Be respectful, be reliable, and be ready to work. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. And notice verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it how? Heartily, as to who? The Lord, and not unto who? The man, even though you have someone you're working for. What's the goal? Knowing that of the Lord, ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve who? The Lord Christ. That's my ultimate supervisor that I'm working for. But he that doeth the wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Know what he's talking about there? Sowing and reaping. Ephesians says the same thing. Let me go back there and I'll read that to you real quick. Ephesians chapter number 6. And it says basically the same thing. Ephesians chapter 6. Notice what he says in verse number 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with what? Eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from where? The heart. Verse 7, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to who? Men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. I'm obeying because I know God in the long run is going to reward me for what I do. I've got a God over me. Although I work for a man, God is the ultimate one that I'm working for, and I should work as unto the Lord. By the way, this will minimize your problems at work. If the boss knows he can count on you to do what's right, minimize your problems. We get ourselves into more self-inflicted problems at work that we brought on ourselves. More self-inflicted problems. Very, very quickly, folks. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1. I'm going to give you this. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 1. If we're going to minimize occupational problems, masters, give. It's the right way to live. It's the right way to live. Colossians chapter 4. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Everybody serves somebody, and there is sowing and reaping. You get back what you give out. The simplest way to say this is Ephesians 6:9. And notice what Ephesians, and I like this. This is the simplest way that Paul could say this, Ephesians 6:9. After talking about the servant relationship in verse 5, and giving the requirements there, Paul comes down to verse number 9, talks to the master. And notice what he says, and ye masters do what? Do the same thing. Do the same thing. Masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect the person. He said, the same thing I told the servant, you do the same thing. Do what's right. Do what's just. Do what's fair. Give what's right, and give because it's right. He says, just do the same thing. Just do the same thing. Folks, what I'm saying, a lot of our problems that we have when we get saved can be cured or minimized just by following the word of God. We think God's going to take this crystal ball and he's going to make it all go away. Why? You just get another one. But if I equip you to navigate through the ones that you have, you'll know how to avoid them in the future. Where does it start with? Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. What happens to that child? That child will be a servant or master in the workforce someplace. And if they have obeyed in the right way, if they have obeyed without being seen, if they have obeyed in their service, guess what? They'll make good servants. They'll make good masters. And if they get married, they'll make good husbands and they'll make good wives. It all starts with children. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. It all starts with children. You show me a good child, oftentimes that child's going to make a good husband, a good wife, a good servant, a good master. When I say good, I mean godly. I'm not talking about morally good, nor godly. Why? They will obey without being seen. Folks, none of this is possible unless we get born again. None of this is possible unless I'm saved. I must be born again. Paul said, now that you're saved, set your affection on things above, not on things earth. Let me encourage you, if you're having problems with this, it could be that you're not saved. We've gone through great length talking about the wife's responsibility, the husband's, the children. And it could be that you're having problems because you're not saved. You need to make sure you're saved. If this is a hard thing, you need to be saved. Being saved makes it easier to obey. It does. Now, can you obey and not be saved? You sure can. But it's better when you obey and be saved. Because at the end of the day, if you die, guess what? You're going to heaven. If you obey without Jesus Christ, at the end of the day, you're not going to heaven. Why? Wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. If our children are going to be the next leaders, what will our society look like? What will the servants look like? What will the masters look like? I think we're seeing a sign of it already. And I don't like what I see. Folks, we've got to do our dead level best to teach our children what's right, so they can make godly wives, godly husbands, godly servants, godly masters. If they're not saved, pray for them to get saved. If they're saved, teach them the Word of God. Say, preacher, how do I get them to do right? Encourage them with godly restrictions and godly rewards. When they do right, reward them. When they do wrong, restrict them. Simple as that. That's what God does to you and I. God's not going to bless you in a mess. Amen. And so we've got our work cut out for us. Society out there at large does not see true Christianity. And it is up to you and I to show them what true Christianity is. We were out door knocking yesterday, and a guy told me he was saved. And no sooner than he said he was saved, he began talking, and a curse word was just getting ready to go out of his lips. He said, Now, I'm not saying Christians don't curse. I'm saying Christians should not curse. Shouldn't go with their behavior. Because belief dictates my behavior. If you're not saved, get saved today. If you're saved, let's shore up our servantship. Let's shore up our mastership. Let's be what God would have us to be. Servants, hey, obey and earn your pay the right way. Masters, making sure we're giving is the right way to live. Father, bless.